I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone, but with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. Hey there, welcome to episode 391 of the Find Your Food Voice podcast. I am Julie Duffy Dillon, registered dietitian and your host, and I have not been this excited to record an episode in a very long time. I am thrilled to be able to share an interview that I just had with Elizabeth Aiku. Elizabeth is the writer, director, producer of the film Me Little Me. This is a film that I also just watched. It's one of the reasons why I'm so jazzed right now, because I watched this film and then a few hours later, I was able to actually speak to Elizabeth and process it. And believe me, I tried to find folks who had already watched it, but it hasn't been released yet. So not many people have seen it. And this was just such a gift, selfishly for me, to be able to sit down and chat with Elizabeth about making this film, why it was made, some of the particulars, and unpack some of the really poignant parts. So a little bit about Me, Little Me. This is a film that shows a person who is just working full-time, trying to make ends meet, and also trying to access recovery from an eating disorder. Elizabeth describes in this interview why she chose to portray eating disorder recovery in the way that it's described in this film. There are a few spoilers in there in this interview, so just be aware of that. But like I mentioned at the end of this interview with Elizabeth, I finished watching this movie feeling very hopeful, and I think you will too. So enough of all of this. I can go on and on, but let's get to this interview with Elizabeth Aiku. But first, we're going to take a quick sponsor break, and we'll be right back. Hey there, Elizabeth. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Julie.
It's so nice to talk to you. And I know we had a few minutes to chat before we push record, but like, I'm still reeling a little bit from this film. And I've never been able to talk to someone who made a film after I've felt all the feels. Oh. And before we recorded this, before we jumped on, there's a few of my colleagues who I Voxered. You know, I don't know if you know about Voxer, but that like walkie, it's like a walkie talkie app that you can leave voice notes on. And so I have a few colleagues that we have these like messages that we go back and forth. And I'm like, has anyone seen this yet? I need someone to talk to me about Me Little Me because I'm feeling a lot. And you know, so I haven't heard back yet. So I'm so excited to talk to you about this. This was just such a great film for me to watch as a provider. Can we start with like who is this film for?
Wow. I made it. The intention was for people that looked like me. It was for Black women who have either gone through the same, like similar experiences, who have been in treatment and just haven't felt represented in films about treatment and what it can look like when you're also going to treatment and working full time, which is what the majority of us have to do. So yeah, I made it for the Black and Brown people who just felt not represented. But I'm getting so much feedback from just everyone who is just like, oh yeah, I'm people who aren't even in treatment. It's interesting. We were talking about how it's a slice of life film and it's really just about life and getting through life. So I'm having people who like, or have issues with substance or just, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, this is my life. Like, this is what people don't know, you know, and movies aren't made like this. And I was just like, oh, okay. Like, good. I'm actually really glad that this is what it's become. So
the way you portrayed treatment was different than I've ever seen it in a movie, or seen it in any in a documentary too. And also different than as me, a provider, has experienced it. And a little bit about my like clinical experience. I've always worked outpatient. I never worked in like a higher level of care, but I certainly worked with a lot of people who've gone through higher levels of care. And it was really interesting for me as a provider to see how the tools that we like are always like throwing out there, how they actually look in like real life. And I was like, oh, there's the meal plan sheet on the cupboard. There's the mantras, all those tools, like to actually see it, you know, and then, yeah, like the way you portrayed someone actually utilizing treatment and me as an intensive outpatient. So someone listening is like, what does that mean? Yeah, you go to work, you go to school, you take care of your family and then go to treatment. I don't know, sometimes at night, maybe, or 4 o'clock till like nighttime. Is that kind of the treatment that Mia was going through?
Four till nighttime, like maybe 8:30 or 9. Like it was, yeah. That's what I'm remembering for myself.
Well, and the really cool thing that you did is when Mia was going to treatment, I didn't know it was treatment at first, you know, because it was like, what is this? And like, I love that you intentionally made treatment something that wasn't maybe necessarily how it's been represented before, but it looked like, oh, this is actually what it is like. Like because I was feeling like, not that I was Mia, but I was like closely next to her and just trying to like fit it all in with work, you know, having to figure out a way to like ease your way out so you could actually access it. What made you want to do that part to like make, to add, you know, the complexities of everything?
I guess just because of how you mentioned, that's not how treatment is portrayed in films, or TV that I've ever seen. And it was frustrating for someone who's gone to treatment and it looked completely different for me. And I know other people have gone to treatment the way I have. So I was just like, I want our experiences to be portrayed. I wanted it to be portrayed accurately for the people who've gone through it the way I have. So I couldn't do residential, just move into a place, like, which is how it's, because it's Hollywood. They always need people to live in the thing, because that's all they know, I think, of what treatment is. And it's, I don't know, what I see in those movies, and I'm talking collectively, I'm not naming just one, I mean all the ones that I can remember, it doesn't look like, I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't look like treatment. Maybe there's some group, you know, maybe there's some group therapy, and not even group therapy, just like some group shares, you know, like some, so right. I, you know, and that's it. And then they go about their lives, and then they're better, and they left treatment, and they're like, oh, I'm, you know, I stopped, you know, my substance, or I stopped my eating disorder. Now it's time to go back in life. It's frustrating because it's so much hard work. It is full. It is like having a full-time job and having another full-time job. And I I wanted that to come across because,
Did come across. Yes. Because something as a provider that I needed to always remember is like, I would expect my clients to do certain things. And as I say this, if you're a past client of mine, I hope that I actually wasn't like this. There were times where I could appreciate that, like, my expectations were so high because I forgot that this wasn't the only thing that a person was having to take care of in their life. Like it's so much more complex.
And I had some clinicians attend the screening, the South by Southwest screening, and they were just like, whoa, like I have so much of a different perspective, like for my clients now. And I just like, and it made me happy because, I don't know. I feel like treatment maybe has got better. I went in 2009. It's been so long, but like, from what it's different. Like, there's a few people, not a few, but like one, I got some feedback about, the dietitian being the villain. Like, So mean. I
didn't tell who was the dietitian, actually. So I wasn't sure who.
It's blurred. Like who? Yeah, I didn't quite say. And this is the dietitian, and this is I thought it was those things where, like, if you know, you know. These are just treatment people who like have who just like do certain. But it was very interesting. And some people were like, "Is this how it is?" Like. They just, like, you know, like, someone's crying at the table, you just have to sit and eat and pretend. And I was just like, I know. Yes. And I don't think it's like that anymore. I asked a couple friends who are just like, yeah, no, if we see someone's getting activated, we'll talk about it. But no, back in when I was there, it was just like, keep eating, y'all. Don't pay attention to this person sobbing. And it was just so hard.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you included that part. That was really meaningful to show that part. And I feel like I have to say, like, just in case someone hasn't watched it yet, like, there'll be a little bit of spoilers, but still, it won't ruin it because I think it's so moving in its presentation. But yeah, there's a person in this that is a newer patient or newer client to the treatment, and they're kind of getting used to just having to eat these meals and the group. I don't know if I was like reading more into it than it was intended, but like seeing the group watching this person navigate the first few bites of eating in treatment, what I saw was them like seeing themselves probably there, knowing what it's like, and just like holding the space. But also, like, there's nothing you can really do besides just be. And
there's so many feelings involved. And I wanted to just kind of hone in on everyone's face to kind of just get those emotions.
Yes, that was great.
Thank you. Because it's triggering. It's helpless. It's like, there's so many feelings when, you see that happening and you're just supposed to just keep on eating your meal, but it's just like, you want to help the person. You kind of want them not to be there because it's triggering, but you also just kind of, it's your reminder of how hard it is. There's so many emotions that come up, and yeah, I'm glad that scene resonated with you. So
most of how I'm involved in eating disorder treatment now is not with clients anymore. It's more helping clinicians to learn how to do this work. And one of the things that I always like to tell clinicians is, like, there's not probably one tool or anything that will be the most important in your work with clients. Like, the most important thing is like the relationship you have and just like being with someone. And I think the way that you showed it was even, demonstrated that more than I think I was even intending. And, but it showed it in many different ways, you know, family, the clinicians, but also the community and treatment. And, yeah, talk to me about that part. Is that something that was intentional, or what do you think about that part?
Yeah, the relationship, absolutely. I mean, it was, because like I said, I don't know if I said this or if it was when we were in conversation before, but that's kind of what got me through that was kind of my breakthrough, was just the care that I was given by someone who was a clinic who it's so the film is based on like a kind of a large period of time in my life, so it's like clinician, it's based on a real person who had a group. It was outside of it was just after I left that treatment center. It was a person who used to work there who started their own group, and we did the I don't want to do any more spoilers, but I know it's
they've been warned. It's okay.
Yeah. Think about your little self, and this this therapist was so different than any other therapist I've ever worked with. She was so
I'm so glad that you had that person.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have, yeah, gotten through it. I wouldn't have, I don't know how far I would have gotten. Person hadn't come along, because I think, like, you, like I portrayed in the film, treatment itself, it was just so strict, especially back then. Again, it might be different. They were so, you couldn't change your snack. You couldn't, you know,
yes.
There was just so many things that were hard about it. And people nowadays are like, it seems kind of like that treatment would be harmful. And like, as I'm watching it back, I'm like,
yeah.
I think it was a little bit, you know, like, I think there were, you know, mm-hmm. some, it helped me break the cycle, you know, of using behaviors. And so I'm thankful for that. But yeah, it was very regimented. So I had to include this person as the director. So Nikki J. Crawford, who's a producer on the film, she plays, you know, the clinician at the end, who just kind of tells, you know, Maya how, just showers her in love, basically. And I think, yeah, that if I didn't have that, if I didn't know that, I guess, that was out there, then I don't think I would have made it through her treatment. And I think a lot of providers think they can't be like that, you know, because boundaries and this and that. But I love it when there's providers who are just kind of like, I don't care, you know, like, or not, I don't care, but just kind of like, nope, you're, because the first thing this person said to me, I remember when I just like walked into the group and I was just like very, I don't make myself small. She was just like, first of all, you are beautiful. That is just, you know, a fact. And I was like, well, no, she's like, nope, that is a fact, you know, like she, like, okay, you know, so just, you know, enough with the, you know, because I had a lot of, you know, body dysmorphia, all the stuff that comes with. And she was just kind of like, this is who you are. Like, I'm telling you, like, you're this, like, wonderful, worthy person. And so, I needed that to be a part of the film. And just, be a part of why Maya decides to keep going. Because not everyone has a family, you know, a support system around them. And I think a lot of times providers don't understand that. They're just like, well, get your family involved, get your, you know, and we don't all have that. So sometimes all we have is the clinicians.
Right. And that lead clinician scene that you're describing was where I was, I was crying the hardest. And I was, I wrote down, like, I rewound it because I wanted to write down what she had said. Because she said, your defense gets better, and that's what I'm here for. To prepare you for the big fight called life. That's what recovery is. Yeah. I was like, so moving. And I agree. Like, I think so much about like training clinicians, especially in the beginning, there's this like rigid side of, oh, I have to follow the rules. I have to like look at these ethics and like, I have to just like go for it 100% and then forgetting that this is a relationship. Yes, it is a professional relationship that you have with clients, but like, this is a human to human experience. And the clinician you're describing, you know, I don't know if this is how it turned out in your experience, but in the film, you show it like outside of session, and it was out in like outside somewhere randomly. You all met up, and she gave you a gift. I mean, that is also a big no-no, right? And but the group made it for you, you know, and how meaningful, like, because that's what people do in relationship. Those are the things you do. You show up for people and you meet them where they are. And I think that it's, you have to remember that you're a human being if you're a clinician, and support people and meet them where they are. So that was a really, that was important for me as a clinician to see that, to remind me of that part. So I really appreciate that a lot. I have another question too about your, the community you portrayed. Is there anything that you could share about like how you chose who to represent and like how you chose to represent the community in treatment?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, those are throughout my long journey. I first went to treatment, like I said, in 2000, 9, but like, how it didn't last. Like, you know, as you know, insurance runs out. So when my insurance ran out, I had to find other means of, like other ways to stay recovered and like being, stay in community. So yeah, everyone in the film, I would say, is based on like some relationship, some person I've encountered in my, in my journey. And, not necessarily while I was at that, in that treatment center, but, yeah, they're definitely people I met in other recovery spaces, if that makes sense. So I just kind of, I wanted them to be represented because, it was the first time, you know, going to other groups and other, you know, things for recovery that I saw other people, you know, other people of color, other, you know, men. It was, and this sounds insane to say now, it's 2024, but 2009, you know, early 2010s, it was just like, yeah, men being in treatment. I don't know. It was a whole thing. There was like, women only treat, it was different, you know? So
yes, yes, for sure.
It was so different. So I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, and we have so many similar stories and they're just like people who I just love so much that I was like, no, they need to be portrayed in the film.
Yes.
Just how, and we talked, I talked to a couple of them and I was like, was this how it was when you were in, cause we were in IOP at different times and they were like, oh yeah. Like, you know, like, so it was good to kind of talk to them.
Yeah, I loved the different types of people you showed in treatment. And I think there's going to be lots of different people who've never seen themselves represented in treatment who are going to see themselves. And there was one person in treatment in particular that I just was like, oh, this is so, I hope everybody has someone in treatment with them like this. Like the person who kept inviting you to, I say you, but in the film, inviting Mia to get together of the weekend or get together outside of treatment and just kept following up, you know, even though she kept getting shot down, but just like, just always saying, hey, I want to connect with you, and maybe didn't take it personally if she never did, you know, but just like kept trying. I loved that so much.
Even relationships are so hard. Cause yeah, you're always, it's like, still, it's like, you don't know where someone's at and their recovery, if they're feeling, you know what I'm saying, to going out. But yeah, there, you always do have a treatment bestie or two, and I wanted that to be you too. Like there's people again who I just love so much from that time in my life. So yeah, I needed them to be portrayed in just like in just this lovely way.
Do you remember that character's name that I'm referencing? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Shay. She's played by an actress called Franya. Yeah, who I love in real life. Franya, is like,
oh,
is
just
like,
that's the so one. Great.
Yeah.
Everyone needs someone like that.
I know. I was like, you're playing this person. She almost didn't even need to audition. She read for me for another short film I was doing a long time ago, where the character was actually meant to be like me, like not nice and not likable, but she was so lovable. I was like, oh man, like
she's very lovable.
Yeah, you couldn't even. I was like, oh, I want her for something else. So yeah, I called her up and I was like, this is
gonna. Well, she was warm even when she would give bad news. You know, like that was just she was really good at that.
Yeah, oh. That's just the actress. Like it's just, it radiates off of her. She's just such a lovely person.
Yeah, that was a good choice. Well, I want to keep talking to you, but I also realize we're running out of time, and I'm wondering if there's, okay, so someone's just watched this and they like, remember when I first started talking to you before we recorded, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'm talking to you because I need a process. is there something that you, like after someone watches this, is there something that you hope that they either do or like how it impacts their life?
I mean, just be good to yourself. It sounds so, it's like such a generic piece of advice, but literally, don't be so, I've been told this my whole life that I'm hard on myself and I hate it. And I didn't know what that, excuse me, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't understand why people were saying that. I'm like, what? I'm just working. I'm just doing regular stuff. Like, why are you saying I'm being hard on myself? But literally I was, and I didn't know that that wasn't like just regular, like wasn't a normal way to be, like, you know, so, I mean, literally just be gentle with yourself. Like, we really are, we're so, yeah, just, we're just think about how you would talk to someone else. This is something I learned in treatment. Like, would you speak to someone else the way you're talking to yourself? And half the time I don't talk to myself in a very nice way. Still, I'm just like, you know, if I have a deadline, I'm like, come on, get your stuff together. Get the, and I'm like, oh, that's rude. You wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't talk to someone, a coworker like that. So just, you know, literally, I felt like that was the answer, especially for that time in my life. Cause I was just
be gentle.
So much shame. Just be gentle with yourself. It's okay. Mm-hmm. To just take the time. That's,
I love that. I love that because I think everybody needs that, especially now. You know, be gentle and let yourself be easy on yourself. It's okay.
Yeah, you know?
It's not okay to be hard. Mm-hmm. So I know that Me Little Me is going to be streaming very soon, and if someone wants to watch this, what's the best way to stream it?
So on November 8th, we're going to be on Apple and Amazon Prime. So it'll be for rent and sale. And I think you said you're going to put something in the description, but we have partnered with Project Heal. So there's going to be a pre-sale period if you purchase the film on Apple. So if you go to Apple TV and purchase during the pre-sale period, which is November 1st to 7th, a portion of the proceeds, I think $1 will go, of each sale will go to Project Heal. And they're so, they've become an organization that's really dear to my heart. They've yes, made so many intentional changes, and there's so many people that I care about who are part of Project Heal. And I see what they're doing, and I hear how they advocate for us, for communities of color, for marginalized communities in general. So I just want to, I want, to smash the pre-sales, and I want all.
Yes. Let's smash the pre-sales. Yes. Well, I'm bumping up this episode release so we can catch the November 1st. And yes, no, I mean, let's do it. Let's smash the pre-sales. I love that. Yes. I've seen Project Heal help on a one-to-one basis, working with clients, how people are able to get treatment. And so, yeah, let's do it. Thank you for making this film. Thank you for chatting with me and helping me to unpack all the things. And, you know, I didn't say this yet, but when I finished this film, I felt so hopeful. And it's not like you ended it in a way where everything is just like done and perfect either.
Right.
But it felt real and hopeful. So thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you for supporting the film. You're like, Julie's an OG supporter of the film. So I couldn't have made it without you. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for doing it. I mean, I can't wait to hear like everyone's experience watching it. So thank you.
Thank you.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Elizabeth Aiku and discussing Me Little Me. And like Elizabeth mentioned in the interview, the Me Little Me is in partnership with Project Heal. And if you purchase the film on Apple during the pre-sale period, so that begins very soon on November 1st until it launches or is released on November 8th, a portion will be donated to Project Heal. Project Heal is an amazing organization that helps people with eating disorders and all different types of people with eating disorders, especially underrepresented folks, and to actually access treatment. I've seen Project Heal work firsthand with my clients to be able to access treatment. So it's a wonderful organization. I highly encourage, if you are going to actually purchase Me Little Me, which I strongly encourage you to do, because it is a kick-ass film. Whether you're interested in eating disorders or not, it's just an amazing film. But to pre-order it on Apple. So we'll put a link below to make it easy for you. And I cannot wait to hear what you think about this film. Do you need to have a place to process it?
shoot me an email, comment below, do all the things, because I am so ready to process this with you. It was a very moving film, and I can't wait to hear what you think about it. All right, until next time, take care.